We remind you one last time that to take part in the survey, you need to. I will show you on the screen. You need to dial into any web browser, the web address menti.com. And then if you add the code 44609954, you can take part in the survey. So I believe now it is 12 o'clock, and so we should have interpretation. Jocelyn, if you're listening in French, can you confirm that we have interpretation? Okay, that's excellent. And a reminder to all those of you on the webinar that you can, of course, listen in English, French, or Spanish just by clicking on the button at the bottom of the screen and choosing your preferred language. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to this webinar in the Codex webinar series organized with JECFA. This webinar is being organized to provide an overview of the JECFA evaluations on cadmium, in particular chocolates, and explain the reason for the JECFA 91 dietary exposure and its outcomes. So, and this information aims to assist the discussions on cadmium in the upcoming Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food, and to inform comments on the maximal levels for cadmium in the remaining chocolate categories for consideration by that committee. This webinar has been organized to allow for audience interaction, so be ready with your questions, especially when we have heard from the JECFA team. Drop them into the chat, and we may perhaps also try and take a couple from the floor, time permitting. Let me just check while you guys are looking to get to the Menti survey that we have our key players online. So if you could just wave, you don't have to say hello, but I see the chair of the contaminants committee, Sally, is here. I can actually probably just spotlight her for everybody so that you see. Welcome. It's great to have you here. And I think I checked earlier that the JECFA guys are here. I see Marcus Lipp from JECFA. I see Vittorio Fattori. And I did see Kim earlier. And yes, he's there next to, on my screen, next to Vittorio. So they're all here. So reminder one last time that I would very much like you to take part in the survey, which is going to kick things off. So please go to menti.com. There's the code on the screen. 44609954. There's 100 plus people online, so please go to your browsers and start clicking so that I can just walk you through a couple of warmer questions before we hear from Sally and then get to the central part of today's webinar. Okay, so first question, here we go. Always interesting for us to learn where you are in the world. And see who we're waking up in the Far East or in the Far West compared to where we are here in Rome. Yes, and as Averna mentioned in the chat, that the presentations and the recording of the session will be made available through the Codex website so that you don't miss anything. So a dominance of Europe, although Latin America is creeping up. I'm good to see we have someone from Southwest Pacific. Okay, and we welcome all of you to this webinar. Let me move on to the next question. The areas that you work in. So for our civil society, government, international organizations, research and academia, I think we even had somebody from an other category yesterday, which was good. Somebody from the media, or from an editor, actually it was. Ah, there's an other today. Can the other person say in the chat which sector they work in? just out of curiosity. Okay, a lot of government people with us today. Let's move on to the third question. Ah, you have to type in the time. What time is it? Sally, I guess for you it's 12:05 like it is for me, right? So you're going to write 12:05. Oh, 7 a.m., 10 p.m. So food safety is everyone's business at anywhere, anytime, any place. 6 o'clock in the morning, I feel sorry for you. Thank you for joining us. And late in the evening as well. Okay, those of you answering the chat, that's great. But please also go to the menti.com browser. Use the code on the screen so that you can take part with the visual aspect of the survey as well. Okay, that's very colorful. Thank you very much. Now, something a bit more technical. We're very interested to know the level of preparation of the people taking part in today's webinar. And so we'd like to know if you've ever participated in a Codex contaminants meeting before. We'd also like to know if you are familiar with the process followed by the contaminants committee in the establishment of maximum levels. Are you familiar with the relationship between the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food, their work, and the scientific advice provided by JECFA, the Joint Expert Committee on Food Additives? And the last of these four questions, how familiar are you with the Codex work on cadmium? This will be very interesting to the JECFA team as they go through this part of the webinar. Okay, so those are the last of my survey questions, and I'll leave that on the screen that so that you can keep clicking and keep on contributing, as I now want to introduce you all to the chair of the Contaminants Committee. Now, I am actually delighted to be the first person to introduce our new chair to you all to a specialized audience for the first time. Let me put you in the middle of the screen, Sally. I'm sure you'll appreciate that, but you have to get used to it chairing a Codex virtual committee. It comes with the territory. So Sally has a degree in molecular biology and chemistry from the University of Amsterdam, and actually received her PhD from the University of Utrecht, also in the Department of Molecular Biology, in 2001. So that's her background. But before joining the Ministry of Agriculture, Nature and Food Quality in the Netherlands, Sally held leadership positions at the Dutch National Institute of Public Health and Environment and at the Netherlands Food and Consumer Product Safety Authority. Her current responsibilities at the ministry include food safety. Sally, delighted to have you here with us. To allow people in the room to get to know you a little bit and prepare us for what's coming in this webinar, I want to just ask you a couple of questions as we get going. What is the connection between this webinar and the work in the plenary session of the upcoming meeting?
Well, thank you for this warm introduction, and I'm very happy to be here and also get to learn a lot more about cadmium and cocoa, because this is actually also my first introduction in this field. I have read it on papers, but now I get to know the JECFA from within. Well, this webinar is organized because JECFA performed a new exposure assessment, and this webinar gives clarification of this particular type of work JECFA did. So we would like to actually prevent also some detailed discussions within the contaminants committee and give some, well, a heads up before that. So we all have to deal with time-limited constraints due to digital working with our contaminants committee. And this could help live up to these time constraints.
That's great. Absolutely. Time is critical, and we spend a lot of time on screens and in these meetings, so we want to be as productive as possible. And therefore, what should participants today be looking for in the discussions and in the presentations?
Well, this webinar has been introduced, and you started off quite great just by posing questions, what they have done with the scientific advice the Jackfire has given, will be given off. And they are introducing us in their work via a presentation. So feel free to ask as many questions as you can to get to the bottom of the content of this scientific advice. And they can also determine whether this new information would give a new perspective on the cadmium discussion we have in the contaminants committee. And take into account when they formulate their comments and position on the cadmium items, which will be given free hand in the Codex commenting system.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you this question at the end of the webinar as well, Sally, and we'll see if your answer
will be the same.
Yes, well, no, it might be influenced by what happens today and the kind of exchanges that we have. But I think it is important for people taking part here today to understand that from here, what will happen after the webinar. So I'd invite you to answer that a little bit now, and then be thinking about, as the webinar evolves, what your answer might become at the end of the session as well.
this is for us to get grips on this scientific advice. And as already explained, the comments on the working documents produced by the contaminant committee in the electronic working groups will be open so that every member can put their comments in. And hopefully this helps them to get the comments integrated. And we are now also preparing for this virtual contaminants meeting. And this is, well, actually a little bit different to what we are used to. And especially what I already said in the beginning, the time constraints make it, more stringent to steer the discussions. And hopefully the comment giving in the commenting system helps us to steer this better. So I invite people to make use of this so we can get through the digital meeting, the virtual digital meeting in May.
Thank you very much, Sally. And I think you've coined a new expression in Codex, stringent steering.
Yes.
I think chairpersons need to be aware of that. And anybody with responsibility for these online meetings needs to become a good stringent steerer. I'm sure that translates interestingly into other languages. Okay, thank you very much, Sally. We'll be coming back to you at the end of the session for your reflections and for your summing up. And I'm sure you're extremely excited about getting involved with and leading the contaminants committee when we come to the actual meeting. So thank you very much for now.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So that's the view from the host country, which is the Netherlands, for this committee. Now let's shift the focus back towards the Codex Secretariat. I hope that from Paraguay we are joined online by my colleague Gracia, who leads the work on contaminants from the Codex Secretariat perspective. I will be managing your visuals, Gracia, but I hope you are here. Earth calling, Gracia.
Hi, yes, I'm here. It's quite early for me, but I'll try my best. But I would rather put my picture because my morning face is not really that good. By the end of the webinar, surely I will join you fully, let's say. Hello everyone, and thanks very much for joining us for this webinar. My presentation will provide a quick overview on Uncode's work on the establishment of maximum levels for cadmium in chocolate and cocoa powder, just to show you the connection between what we're doing in contaminants and the JECFA provisional scientific advice for the establishment of safety standards in the CODES Committee on Contaminants in Foods. And I hope I will manage to do it in the next 7-8 minutes.
Okay, Gracia, when you're ready for the slides to go forward, you'll have to tell me because it's the only contact we have. Okay. So I will go forward when you tell me, okay?
Right. So the next one, please. Right, thanks. Okay, just a little bit of history here. Work on maximum levels for cadmium in chocolate and cocoa derived products goes back to 2014, more or less, when the committee took the decision to initiate new work with the concurrence of the commission. And subsequent to this decision, there was a long back and forth discussion on what would be the best way to classify chocolates and cocoa products for the purpose of setting maximum levels for international trade and to also better define the scope of the work. And finally, in 2017, the committee agreed that maximum levels for cadmium in chocolate will be set on the following parameters. It will be set for the final product, that the cocoa derived products will only apply to cocoa powder. So this is the only derived product that we're dealing with in contaminants so far. That the mLs will be based on percentage of cocoa solids on a dry matrix basis. And that the classification of chocolates will follow the breakdown that you see on the screen, which seems pretty much reflecting common marketing practices. Would be also consistent with the Codex standards for chocolate and chocolate products we have in Codex. In 2018, the committee forward MLs for two categories of chocolates for adoption by the commission, which are those in green you can see on the screen. And at that session, there was also a general agreement to consider maximum levels on a proportional basis, while also recognizing the need for some flexibility in the proportionality between the mLs for the different chocolate categories to avoid very high rejection rates, especially for those regions with naturally high concentration of cadmium, while still ensuring public health protection. And following in 2019, the committee finalized a proposal of 0.3 milligram per kilogram of cadmium for chocolate with less than 30% total cocoa solid. Now, this proposal did not receive enough support for final adoption by the commission in 2019. There were polarized views on the opportunity to further reduce this level, especially for this category, which seems to be highly consumed by children. And so the maximum level, in their view, would not be sufficiently health protective, while other countries and delegations claim that a more conservative maximum level will imply too high rejection rates, especially in consideration of the conclusion of the JEFA 73 and 77 meetings with no further gains in public health protection. So, those in favor of a more restrictive conservative maximum level also refer to the ongoing development of the code of practice to contain cadmium contamination in cocoa beans and whether such practices could assist those countries in reducing the level of contamination and be able to comply with lower MLs. So in view of this impasse, then the Commission returned this ML to the committee for further consideration under very specific conditions. And the condition was that the discussion will be limited to this particular ML, that the concept of proportionality that has been agreed by this committee should be taken into account, should be maintained in the discussion. And if new additional information provided, does not justify a change to this proposal. The upcoming session of the committee will recommend the adoption of this maximum level of 0.3 milligram per kilogram by the Commission for adoption this year in 2021. So following the decision of the Commission, we, the Codex Secretariat, we requested comments on this ML from Codex members and observer organizations. And the comments, together with the advice of the Commission, as well as the relevant JEGF evaluation, and you will hear more about the JEGF evaluations in the next presentation, will be considered by the committee during the forthcoming plenary session. Okay, next one, please. Now, in 2019, which was the last session of this committee, CCCF also agreed to continue working on the remaining categories for which MLs for cadmium would be considered, namely the chocolates between 30 and 50% cocoa solids and cocoa powder with 100% cocoa solids. And so they established an electronic working group chaired by Ecuador and co-chaired by Ghana to carry out this work. So the upcoming plenary session will also consider MLs for this category of chocolates and cocoa powder, and in doing so, we will have to take into account again the recommendation of the electronic working group in this case, also the comments submitted by CODES members and observers on these MLs, following the call for comments that will be issued shortly before the end of this week, as well as the outcome of the discussion on the ML for chocolate with less than 30% total cocoa solids. Because as I mentioned, we have this proportionality approach, we have the JEGF evaluations, we have a number of recommendations from the EWG, the last session of the Commission and the Codex Alimentarius Commission, and they are all interrelated when it comes to decide on the MLs for the different categories of chocolates. Next, please. And this is the last one, and I hope I made it in 7-8 minutes. This is basically where to find information about the upcoming meeting of the Committee on Contaminants. We have a dedicated site on the CODES webpage that is being continuously updated with working documents, requests for comments, and information on the logistics of this meeting. We would advise those participants in this webinar who are planning to participate in the forthcoming plenary session to keep an eye on this website for availability of working documents and information to participate in the plenary meeting. So this is it for the time being, and thank you very much for your attention, and I hope you will enjoy the next presentation on JEGF evaluations on cadmium. Thanks very much, David.
Thank you very much, Gracia. I apologize to those who had trouble with seeing some of the green on the screen. As my colleagues mentioned in the chat, the presentations will be made available to you to download afterwards, and I would ask Elaine to perhaps put the links that Gracia had on her last slide in the chat as well, so that people can see those were. Gosh, our stringent stewardship is going so well that we're actually ahead of time, Sally. So you've scared us all into action, which gives us a lot more time for JEGFA, which is the central part of this presentation. So we're moving there now, and I'm delighted to be joined by Marcus Lipp, Vittorio Fattori, and Kim Peterson from the JEGFA Secretariat. I was in a webinar recently, and I heard Marcus describe food as love, or food as like love. So Marcus, we'll actually be asking you to use the other side of your brain today when we get involved in the more technical discussions. But food as love was a wonderful way to think about these things, I'm sure. And it is, of course, especially interesting for the Codex membership to see both the FAO and the WHO arms of JEGFA here today, as we will be focusing on exposure assessment, which is a joint responsibility of both organizations. what are you going to see over the next 20 minutes? Well, you're going to see the JECFA team take you through what I would call a deep dive into the findings of the exposure assessment on cadmium. But before we start that, you will be aware that JECFA makes a series of documents available to support the work of Codex. So Marcus, could you just briefly explain what JECFA actually publishes, the different outputs?
Thanks, David. And yes, I will refrain from philosophical comments, at least for a little bit. We are delighted to be here. It's 152 participants total in that call. It's fantastic turnout, so we are thrilled by that. And by the interest in the Codex Contaminants Committee, of course, but also in the work that JECFA does. So JECFA, the Joint Expert Committee for Food Additives, does actually food additives, contaminants in foods, and residues of veterinary drugs in foods. So we have a whole series of outcomes. You all have seen in the meanwhile the summary report that we tend to publish within 1 to 2 weeks after a meeting as an immediate outcome. They are typically very short. We have made an exception this time due to the interest and the timing of all the events that we pre-published, if you want, all the deliberations that will be printed in the JECFA report as they pertain to cadmium. There was more on the agenda of JECFA at that 91st meeting, but that's the entirety of the report as it pertains to cadmium that we republished or pre-published in the summary report, which means there is a full report to come. And that typically takes several months, and hence our efforts to inform all Codex participants as early as possible through an exceptional but also extensive publication as it pertains to cadmium. So we have the summary report, we have the JECFA report, and then it depends a little bit on the topic. There are JECFA monographs, toxicological monographs that go into details of all the toxicological background information for a particular substance, be it a veterinary drug, be it a food additive, or be it a contaminant. In this case, that will not happen as there was no stringent toxicological consideration for cadmium. What are the toxicological endpoints? Nothing has changed from that perspective with regard to cadmium. So there will not be any further output on that. And then there's also often a series of specifications that describe what that chemical actually is, or residue monographs that go into more details if it's residues of veterinary drugs that describe how the evaluation of residues in food has occurred and what data were considered and why and how. Now, they are not applicable for here. So what is the outcome for this meeting? It's the summary report and the JECFA report as much as it refers to cadmium, of course. I hope that clarifies it a little bit.
Well, it clarified for me, Marcus, that people have a lot of reading to do, but valuable and vital reading to do if they want to become engaged and then be in a position to ask the right questions, right? So, and I would remind people that please, we do welcome your questions for the presentations that you're about to see. You can drop those into the chat, and perhaps my colleagues in the secretariat will filter those, and we'll look at the ones where we think we can probably give a good answer today, and put those to Marcus, Victoria, and Kim. So without further delay, then I will hand over to Vittorio, who will begin by explaining to us what exactly JECFA has done with regards to cadmium. Vittorio.
Thank you, David. Would you also share for me the slides? Is that possible? You don't have it? Okay, great. Okay, let me then do it. I'll share my screen then. It's probably easy. Okay, I hope everyone can see my screen and the slides.
That's perfect, Vittorio. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, good. So, well, thanks Thanks, David, and good morning, afternoon, everyone. We would like to give you this overview about the work we have done at the 91st meeting in terms of the JECFA evaluation on cadmium, and for the reasons that was also explained already by Marcus, we would like to facilitate the discussion in the upcoming session of the Contaminants Committee by providing you a bit more information of what we did, why we did cadmium again, and what are the outcomes, if anything has changed compared to what we have seen before. Now, the presentation will be shared among us in the JECFA Secretariat from FAO and WHO. And also, this is a sign of, as we were saying, it's a joint committee by FAO and WHO. And exposure assessment, it's super joint. I mean, it's one task that the two organizations do together. The experts work together, are assigned together by the two organizations. So it's truly reflecting the joint nature of this committee. And so in that sense, we thought it was good for you to hear also from both sides of the secretariat. So I'm going to starting really with a presentation. Cadmium is not new to JECFA, all right? It's a contaminant that we have assessed, as you can see on the slide, quite a few times already, back into the 70s. And we had some kind of recent assessment in 2010 and then 2013, when we had done a specific assessment on cocoa products. So one would ask, why do it cadmium again? And we will try to explain why. So the 13th session of the Contaminants Committee asked for more data to support the deliberation also through the electronic working group. And so in the JECFA Secretariat, we had issued a call for data specifically for cadmium in chocolate and cocoa products. That was in 2019, right? Then when we had looked at those data that we have received provided a wider geographical range to what we have seen in the previous meeting, which was JECFA 77. And also the occurrence data show that there were some sort of a higher mean concentration. So the level of cadmium seemed to be higher than what we have observed. So in that respect, and I will explain in a further slide a little bit more on that, we from the Secretariat felt it was appropriate for us to update and revise, if necessary, our dietary exposure assessment, as we were now aware of new data that potentially may lead into a change of a previous assessment that we have done. And that's, to me, it's an important point that we would like to clarify, as we have also, I'm sure you would have questioned, okay, you have conducted assessment of cadmium so many times, why you are doing this, why you did it, and even if it was not specifically requested by the work of the Contaminants Committee. And I thought it was useful for all of us to refresh on how compounds get into the JECFA agenda. As Marcus mentioned, JECFA, it's a committee that actually serves three different codex committees, not just the Contaminants Committee, but also the Food Additives and also CCRBDF, the Bed Drugs Committee. And each of those committees has priority lists. So one way, the usual way, I would say, is for JECFA compounds to be nominated through the Contaminants Committee or the CCRBDF or CCFA, depending on the subject. So that's the usual way. Then we also have a possibility of receiving requests from FAO and WHO member states, and those can also be channeled again through the various Contaminants Committee or CCRBDF or CCFA. So that's there is also that possibility. JECFA, as the committee itself, can also self-task. And you would remember cases in which we had, for example, an evaluation that could not be completed because we lacked some data. For example, there was not a firm conclusion with respect to the health-based guidance value, an ADI, or an acute reference dose for which we had recommended that JECFA look again at that specific substance. Similar also for some contaminants. If we could not conclude an assessment, we would also recommend, JECFA would actually recommend itself to look again at that contaminant. But that was not the case for cadmium. What was the case for cadmium is the fourth bullet here. It was us, the JECFA Secretariat, that decided to put cadmium on the agenda. And as you can read, this is an extract from our working procedures, and you can see also it's a working procedures that is available on our website and basically explain all of what I'm saying now. There is also a provision for the JECFA Secretariat to place a substance on the agenda for evaluation, even though no outside requests have been received, if it becomes aware of significant new data being available that may impact the previous assessment. And that was the case this time around for cadmium. So just to get the story right, so we have issued a call for data as it was requested from the Contaminants Committee. This call for data seemed to us to indicate that there were a wider geographical range of cadmium presence in cocoa products to what we have seen before, and also some higher levels. So that triggered us to say, okay, maybe it is opportune, it is appropriate for us to make sure that our assessments are still valid, and it's also part of our due diligence in terms of making sure that we provide the best up-to-date science, that we look back at the cadmium assessment, update it, and if necessary, revise it. So that was the reason why we had JECFA looking again at the cadmium, specifically and only, in fact, on exposure assessment. So we were not aware of new toxicological information, and so toxicological information was not assessed. We were specifically focusing on exposure assessment. So looking again at occurrence data, consumption data, and see if something has changed with respect to the exposure assessment of cadmium. So that was why we had evaluated cadmium again. And I hope that clarifies a little bit. But of course, if you have some additional question, we are here happy to provide further information. Just as a point of reference, this document that you can see on the screen, the working procedures, again, it's publicly available. And these sort of provisions on how compounds can get through the agenda of a JECFA are laid down even in more details. With that, I think I can pass it on to Kim, that maybe will start going through a little bit of what was the scope of the assessment and what we actually did. So, Kim, if that's okay, I will hand it over to you. And just tell me when you want to advance with the slides.
Thank you very much, Vittorio, and thank you for sharing your screen. So, welcome, everybody, also you that have been up very early or those of you who are up very late. Welcome from here from WHO in Geneva. I'm really happy to see so many participating in this webinar. So what was the scope of this assessment that was undertaken by the committee at its 91st meeting? Well, the scope, in short, was to update the dietary exposure to cadmium from all food sources, in particular cocoa products, including chocolates. And as already mentioned by Victoria a few minutes ago, we did not make a new toxicological evaluation. Next slide, please. Thank you. So what is the issue when it comes to cadmium in our food? Well, cadmium, as you probably all know, is a natural occurring heavy metal that is ever present in the environment, from our ocean, from our soils to the air, and is therefore also ever present in our food and diet. Some regions have higher concentration of cadmium than others due to natural causes, and a dietary exposure assessment therefore needs to consider as many kinds of food as possible and also as many regions and cover as many regions as possible. Over the years, many studies have been published on the dietary exposure to cadmium, and indicating that the mean cadmium dietary exposure is often within the range of 20 to 60% of the health-based guidance value. As you know, any estimate of dietary exposure needs to be well-defined, meaning covering as many food types as possible, regions, and also age groups. And at this meeting, JECFA wanted to see if anything has changed based on the new available data.
that has been produced since its last evaluation. And when JECFA looked at cocoa products the last time in 2013, only limited information on cadmium in cocoa products from some regions were available. This time we had more occurrence data on cadmium in cocoa products, and that this could be included in the assessment. The data covered a larger geographical range and indicated a larger and higher mean cadmium concentration. So therefore, as also mentioned by Victoria, we found it very important to update the dietary exposure, not only on cocoa, but for all food products. Next slide, please. Could I have the next slide, please? Thank you very much, Victoria. So what kind of data has been submitted or were made available to the committee? Well, since 2011, we have received a lot of new data from 27 countries or country regions, representing 10 out of the 17 WHO or GEMS food clusters. And in this assessment, only data published or submitted to the GEMS food database since 2011 were included in the updated JECFA assessment. In total, the data set contained almost 300,000 records. The majority of data were from the European region, approximately 78%, but also a considerable amount of data were made available for cluster 10, mainly from Canada, Japan, and the United States. Data on cadmium content in many different kinds of foods were included in the records. The main data came from, the main set of data came from edible pig offal, marine fish, and cattle meat, but also almost 7,000 data came in on cocoa and cocoa products. Besides the data that was made available and uploaded and shared through the GEMS Food database, a lot of national data and publications have been made available where national estimate of exposure to cadmium have been made public available. So the committee included and evaluated 44 national estimates on cadmium exposure and covering in total of 22 countries. The committee noted that due to the large number of national estimates of dietary cadmium exposure available, their coverage of countries across the world and their consistency, JECFA considered that deriving less refined international estimates of dietary exposure was inappropriate. And just to illustrate that, I don't know if you can see it, but this figure on the right-hand side indicate that national studies, more detailed studies, more detailed data, of course, provide a more refined estimate than if you just use very global data. And when you have a more refined dietary exposure assessment, you also reduce the amount of uncertainty. So this is the reason why JECFA, in this case, considered the national studies to play a crucial role in the evaluation of the exposure to cadmium from all food sources. So please, Victoria, if you could share the other slide. So what was one of the major outcomes of this evaluation? Well, these national estimates of the dietary exposure to cadmium indicated that in the total diet, based on national levels and national studies, the national level ranged from 0.6 microgram per kilogram per month for adults, which is the same as 2.4% of the provisional tolerable monthly intake, or up to 24 microgram per kilogram per body weight per month in children, or 96% of the PDMI. When it comes to the high percentile estimates of adult dietary cadmium exposure, they were only occasionally above the PTMI and were typical in the range of 20 to 60% of the PTMI, as also illustrated in some of the previous evaluations made by JECFA and others. Also consistent with previous evaluations, the main sources of cadmium exposure were grain, grain-based products, vegetables, and fish and seafood. An obvious question would be to ask whether any trends in dietary cadmium exposure based on this recent, very recent evaluation. But the committee concluded that owing to the difference in study design and study location, it was not possible to identify any trends in dietary exposure. Can you please mute the microphone? Thank you. So the committee concluded there was no trends that could be identified based on the study design and study location. And they also reassured and concluded again that the major food contributing to the dietary cadmium exposure has not changed. It is still cereals, vegetables, and seafood, especially mollusk, which is very consistent with previous evaluation. And none of the committee evaluation have identified cocoa products as a major contributor to dietary cadmium exposure. The contribution of cocoa products to dietary exposure to cadmium was minor, coming from 0.1 to up to about 9%. And only this high 9% is only for some age groups, based on national studies, but also based on the data available through the GEMS and food cluster data. And this is also relevant and also applies to countries in which the cocoa consumption is high. So I think that covers these slides, please, Victoria. So maybe you can handle the slides and microphone to Marcus to finalize the presentation.
Yeah, sure. Marcus, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely, yes. Please. Thank you, sir. All right, so starting to wrap it all up, four slides to go, and then you have suffered through it. So the estimates of the contribution of the cocoa products to dietary cadmium exposure were derived on the CHEMS food cluster diets. We will mention a number of those CHEMS food clusters. Keep in mind, these clusters are groupings of countries according to dietary similarities or similarities in the diets, not geographic similarities. There's some correlation, but it's not very helpful if you think about geographic clustering of countries. But across all the diets, all the data that we analyzed, the cocoa products contributed only to 0.9 to 6% of the dietary cadmium exposure. So a maximum of 6% of all the cadmium was in some areas only, and it went down from there due to cocoa products. This is very consistent with what you have heard already, that there are other main food groups, mostly cereals and seafood and some others, that are the main sources of cadmium for the consumers. Most of those that had the highest contributions in terms of cocoa products to cadmium exposure were those from the westernized clusters, and it's in small print below, so you can see that it's not grouped according to geography, but it's mostly European and North American countries, these four clusters there. The contribution in those clusters is, of course, a little bit higher, so the lowest end is 3.4% and includes up to almost 6%. And the greatest of that of those who experience these contributions of cocoa product is in the cluster G07. Excuse me. Cocoa powders in the countries within the cluster did reflect the higher consumption of chocolate, and the cadmium concentration in the foods were assumed not to differ between the clusters because that we did not have any indications that it would be that way. So the committee conducted a more detailed analysis of the impact of the consumption of cocoa products from a single geographical origin on the dietary cadmium exposure for different age groups, that's in Europe. And the analysis suggested that with that there are potential scenarios under which cocoa products would be the main contributor to a dietary cadmium exposure, but these are very specific scenarios. Next slide, please. The committee also did an impact of the established and proposed maximum limits for cadmium in cocoa and projected rejection rates that come with it. So this is a complicated table. You have a source of cocoa products in the leftmost column. Then there's the potential rejection rates for cocoa powder samples or cocoa products that are, if the applications of the maximum limits as currently either endorsed or proposed, so both endorsed or proposed, were to be applied. And then maybe the easiest one is the rightmost column. It says, if those maximum limits were applied, what would be the mean reduction in dietary cadmium exposure? You see that the rejection rates vary dramatically. They can be up to 30% in the cluster G05, which is contains a lot of South American countries, South and Central American countries, sorry. But overall, the mean reduction in dietary exposure due to the application of the maximum limit is 1% or less. So it's not very high, the public health benefit that may be perceivable. Or let's put it the other way. The projected protective effect of such a maximum limit would be not very high. Next slide, please. So to conclude, CECFA 73, it established this provisional tolerable maximum intake of 25 microgram per kilogram body weight for cadmium. That reflects the long half-life of cadmium in humans. And that is the PTMI since CECFA 73, as we do not have any knowledge of any additional toxicological concerns that would have been published in the meanwhile. So in other words, the toxicological profile of cadmium is pretty well documented, understood, and there is no new concern that were to come up. The mean dietary exposure from cadmium to the whole diet ranged from 2.4% up to 96%, depending on the region. The children in China who had the highest highest amount of PTMI used up by cocoa products also had the highest high percentile estimate of dietary cadmium per month in general. So their whole diet contains more cadmium than compared to other regions. The high percentile estimates of adults were only occasionally above the PTMI, but generally well within the below the provisional tolerable monthly intake for cadmium. Current CECFA PTMI is based, so the current evaluation that led to the formulation of this provisional tolerable monthly intake for cadmium is based on the long-term bioaccumulation of cadmium in the kidney. It is important to remember that a steady state will not be achieved until 45 to 60 years of exposure, which means that that is the time frame on which the PTMI is being based. And it's a little more complicated and not completely accurate to extrapolate from, let's say, a shorter term exposure as could happen during childhood to a long-term lifelong risk. That leads to that sentence that the dietary exposure above the PTMI for a limited period, for example, childhood only, may be of lesser concern in the younger age groups. However, there may be, or we cannot exclude, that there is a health concern in areas where the cadmium exposure during adulthood is exceeding the PTMI. Next slide, please. So consistent with all the previous CECFA evaluation, the main source for dietary cadmium in food remains cereal-based products, vegetables, fish, and seafood. These are the main dietary sources from which we all get exposed to cadmium. The contribution from cocoa products to that overall exposure to cadmium was minute, 0.1%, to not minor, less than 10% for the national studies and estimates from the CHIMS food cluster diets. Even in countries that have a traditionally high consumption cocoa products. Comparing the cadmium concentrations in chocolates and cocoa powders in the CHEMS Food Contaminants Database to the existing MLs or the proposed MLs showed that this proposed ML, these proposed MLs, would lead to a significant rejection rate. Up to 10% for some cocoa powder samples. So there is a potentially significant trade impact. The application of both the established and proposed maximum limits for chocolate and cocoa powder may result in rejection rates up to 30% for some regions, but the overall health benefit or the health benefit that may be derived from a reduction in the dietary exposure to cadmium is rather limited, and as the these maximum limits would only lead to a decreasing of the cadmium exposure between 0.7 and 2.4% from the total dietary cadmium exposure. And I believe that's the last slide, correct, Vittoria?
Yes, sorry, I was...
All right.
Yeah, I think it's his last, yeah.
With that... that was our presentation. That was what we wanted to share. I'll turn it back to David for moderation of Q&As. Thank you.
Thank you very much to all three of you for that incredibly clear and well put together presentation on this matter. I'm surprised that I haven't seen a single question in the chat. So I think then we can just close the meeting, basically. I see. So we have 30 minutes now, and we invite you to drop your questions into the chat, or as Romo from Ecuador has done, to raise your hand. Now, we're not going to be super strict and put a timer onto interventions here, but in fairness to everybody who wants to take part, please. I will just mute that person. Please keep your interventions concise and to the point, and especially take this as an opportunity to ask the JECFA team questions. Okay, so Romil, over to you, and then we'll go to Peru. Thank you very much.
Muchísimas gracias, David. Muy buenos días desde Quito, Ecuador, en la mitad del mundo. A todos ustedes. Como Ecuador queremos agradecer a los organizadores de este seminario FAO-MS y JEFA por compartir esta valiosa información, agradecer a la señora presidenta del Comité de Contaminantes a la cual le damos una cordial bienvenida al mundo de Codex. Tenemos dos sombreros que llevamos puestos como Ecuador y como presidentes del grupo de trabajo electrónico. Por ello, quisiera puntualizar el momento que hago la pregunta en calidad de qué sombrero lo hago. Y quisiera nomás una reflexión, tal vez de un inicio, si me permites, David, agradecer la proactividad de JECFA para hacer esta evaluación, como lo dijimos anteriormente. Realmente consideramos que hubiese sido prudente, si cabe el término, anticipar a la membresía de esta iniciativa, pues a todos nos tomó por sorpresa en medio de un trabajo que, si bien es cierto, se explicó perfectamente que no es necesario un mandato del grupo de prioridades ni del comité para que JEFA haga una nueva evaluación, pues, como decíamos, nos tomó por sorpresa. Sabíamos que, y habíamos escuchado a JEFA, como bien lo aclaró, que en 2013, pues, consideraba que no hay datos suficientes para hacer una evaluación toxicológica. Muy claro que hacia allá no se enfocó la evaluación sí hay datos suficientes, como se lo explicó, realizar la exposición. Y de alguna manera nos tranquiliza, siempre hemos estado, digamos, tranquilos sobre la exposición, las fuentes, los niveles, el consumo, en este caso, de derivados del cacao, por lo que consideramos, pues, que nos va a ser muy útil para las deliberaciones. Sí, también aclarar que de alguna manera la consulta a través de la carta circular de JECFA nos preocupó porque pues básicamente se consultaba si es que se deben o no parar los trabajos y bueno, del grupo de trabajo electrónico hasta esperar los resultados. Pero claro, un poquito ahí solicitar, apegarnos a los procedimientos, o tal vez yo quiero pedir disculpas, sí desconozco los procedimientos porque el grupo de trabajo electrónico pues no tenía un mandato de parar porque no conocíamos esta evaluación. Y bueno, todo eso nos causó un poquito de complicación. Sin embargo, hemos continuado y lógicamente toda esta información consideramos va a ser muy útil para los debates. Sabemos y quisiera resaltar la frase de que no debemos preocuparnos por la exposición del cadmio con este alimento por las razones que se ha explicado. Muchísimas gracias. Gracias, David. Gracias a todos.
Thank you very much indeed, Rommel. I don't know that there was an actual question in there. Was there an actual question to JECFA? I thought you said you had two questions and then we lost a bit of interpretation. But I didn't actually, in my ignorance, capture the question.
David, perdón que tome la palabra de nuevo. Básicamente, lo que mencionábamos, tal vez como reflexión y a manera de pregunta, es que hubiese sido prudente, decíamos, tal vez haberlo anticipado. Nos tomó por sorpresa. Esta sería la una y la otra. Si la resumimos brevemente, es la consulta, es decir, ¿por qué JECFA nos consultaba si el grupo de trabajo electrónico debería parar los trabajos en medio de un mandato? Entonces, esto apegado al procedimiento obviamente nos causó un poquito de revuelo, si cabe el término, en el grupo. De la reflexión que hice, que me permití hacer, extraería estas dos situaciones. Gracias.
Okay, Rommel, what I did grasp, and I see Marcus has raised his hand to answer that before I go to Peru, was this question of whether the EWG, the Electronic Working Group, was asked in some way to stop their work in midstream. Marcus, was that the point that you were able to address for us? Go ahead.
Well, partially, probably. So, first of all, we do want to apologize for any inconvenience our work has caused, our actions have caused, to the EWG, to the Codex community, to the Codex Contaminants Committee, to all the members, the chairs, and everybody involved there. Our main objective, our main mandate as the JECFA Secretariat from FAO and WHO is to guarantee the integrity of our scientific output. If we come across knowledge that is relevant to our past work or to our current work or even future work that may have an impact on public health, a significant enough impact where there is enough data available that we have to conclude that this may either invalidate potentially previous results or may trigger actions in any other shape or form, we will have to act on that. Now, we did appreciate at the very beginning, and we were aware, of course, of the work of the Electronic Working Group, and that an announcement like we did, that JECFA will pick up the exposure analysis. It wasn't toxicological re-evaluation, but the re-evaluation of the exposure part, that this may cause confusion, consternation, and uncertainties. For that, we would like to apologize. But we will remain the right to act if the integrity of our products, upon which much of the work at various Codex committees is being built, may be at risk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marcos, and sorry for that technical blip where the wrong screen got shared. Thank you very much for that answer. So, Peru, thank you for being so patient. If you are able to turn on your camera to help, thank you very much, Javier. The floor is yours, sir.
Hola, muy buenos días. Buenos días desde Perú. Buenas tardes, donde se encuentran. Bueno, agradecerles a la FAO, OMS, al IECFA, a la Secretaría del CODEX, a la Presidenta del Comité de Contaminantes. Muchas gracias por todo este taller que nos brinda información importante y sobre todo nos va a permitir aclarar ciertas dudas respecto al documento del IECFA de la 91 reunión que se llevó a cabo recientemente. Nosotros como Perú, mencionarles que reconocemos la labor científica desarrollada por el IECFA. Eso nos permite al comité justamente mejorar nuestros trabajos. Con respecto al documento, yo sí tengo unas consultas que realizar. La primera pregunta es, considerando que en el año 2013 el IECFA indicó que el asunto del cadmio en los productos derivados del cacao no se consideraban un motivo de preocupación. En esta nueva evaluación, ¿IECFA considera que el contenido del cadmio en derivados del cacao es un problema para la salud pública? La siguiente pregunta. En el supuesto de que los miembros del CODEX adopten niveles máximos para derivados del cacao mencionados en la tabla 2 de su documento, ¿se tendría algún riesgo significativo relacionado a la inocuidad? Y la tercera pregunta es, considerando el impacto mencionado en la tabla 1, en el supuesto de que la población del clúster G07 y los países europeos solo consuman productos derivados de cacao provenientes del clúster G05, ¿esto generaría un problema de salud pública? Bueno, aprovecho la oportunidad para manifestarles nuestra muestra de consideración, estima, y creo que vamos a continuar con todo este trabajo que viene realizando IECFA y ya también nos veremos en la próxima reunión del comité. Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much, Javier. So I will invite the IECFA team again to respond to this on the public health concern issues. Marcos, is that you?
I can give it a start. So Javier, let me ask you, you also contacted us in writing, both FAO and WHO, with the same set of questions. Would you like to have them answered in written or here in the webinar?
No, también quisiera escuchar hoy.
All right, understood, and thank you for your questions. Cadmium will always remain a public health concern. It is a naturally occurring contaminant that needs to be managed. So with regard to your first question, whether IECFA considers cadmium per se as a health concern, yes, cadmium in cocoa products, by extension, something that needs to be analyzed, that needs to be evaluated, and that needs to be assessed with regard to its impact. Now, we have provided numbers and figures how we believe the relative contribution of cadmium in cocoa products compares to the rest of the cadmium exposure from other food products. According to the risk analysis principle under which Codex operates, CECFA's part is the risk assessment, which means to describe it's less than 10% of the total exposure of cadmium comes from cocoa products. It will be up to risk managers, the Codex Committee for Food Contaminants in Foods, my apologies, and the Codex Alimentarius Commission, ultimately, to decide how to manage those risks. If it is considered to be relevant enough that actions need to be taken, then it's a risk management decision. We have demonstrated how big the effect is likely to be if actions were being taken. So the second question was whether maximum levels for cocoa derivative, and I'm reading from your email, whether there's any significant risk related to safety. Again, we have given the numbers on what the perceived health benefits that can be expected from, or let's say, the what the expected reduction of cadmium exposure is, were if these maximum limits, as currently proposed, were to be applied. There is a reduction, of course. We have expressed that in numerical values. It is a minor reduction, as the main exposure does not come from cocoa products. The third question was whether, assuming that the population of the G07 cluster in the European countries only consume products derived from the cocoa from G05 cluster, would this generate a public health problem? There is one subpopulation for which it is not possible to exclude a potential public health problem, of the population of the G07 cluster, which is mainly European countries. And that applies to children that consume only products that are derived from the G05 cluster, which is Central and South America, and are part of the high consuming group of children for cocoa products. So both conditions have, three conditions have to be met. It has to be children, it has to be high consuming cocoa products, and the cocoa products come exclusively from the G05 cluster. That is the only group where we had, where we were not able to exclude, in that context that you mentioned, where we were not able to exclude a potential health, where we could not exclude a potential problem for public health. Your last question was at the 13th meeting of the Codex Committee for Contaminants in Foods. CECFA mentioned that there was sufficient new data on toxicological effects to warrant an, that there was insufficient new data on toxicological effects to warrant a new risk assessment. That is still correct. We have not performed a risk assessment that would also include a toxicological evaluation of the toxicological effects of cadmium. We have no information that the that there's new toxicological information available that would dramatically alter the endpoints that are relevant for public health, so that there are new effects that have previously not been considered, that there are new target organs that have previously not been considered. We have no information on any of that. So we did not perform a toxicological re-evaluation. We exclusively performed a re-evaluation of the exposure to cadmium. I hope that answers your question, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Marcus, and thank you again, Javier from Peru, for putting that, and thank you for the complete answer. There are two questions in the chat, Jekfa team. I don't know if either of you would like to respond to them. I suspect the second one from Matthew is touches on what you mentioned, Marcus, that you are the risk assessor, not the risk manager. And but if either of those two comments that you would like to address, or even colleagues from the Codex Secretariat, I'm very grateful for the questions having been posed.
Yeah, I can say some comments, and please, my colleagues, they can just chime in here too.
Can you tell me which one? I'll read it out, Marcus, for interpretation. Which one are you going to handle?
For Matthew O'Malane, does this new evaluation mean that maximum limits are not actually needed or appropriate because they bring no public health benefit and would negatively impact trade in some regions? And that is an excellent question, and this is, of course, the core work of every Codex Committee that exists. How to balance certain effects that may be desirable but mutually exclusive. And CECFA's work, as I mentioned before, is based on risk assessment. So we do our best to characterize and somehow describe the lack thereof, or if that cannot be excluded, the magnitude of a public health concern, and at which concentration we feel more certain or less certain that there is no public health concern. That is a standard risk assessment. So how dangerous is it? Under the current conditions of what is consumed, what do we know about the toxicology and all of that? How to balance that with other considerations that are desirable for the society at large is a very complicated setup and requires careful deliberation and is often a political approach. That's risk management. That is not risk assessment. So these discussions will happen and do happen with regularity at Codex committees, not at CECFA.
Thank you, Marcus. And another question in the meantime in the chat, which I don't know if one of you would like to handle, from Christine, about which cereal product does CECFA consider the most relevant for exposure?
Maybe I can start on that, David, and also because it's a nice follow-up to also what Marcus was saying with respect to DMLs. So it's not of a surprise if that the application of these MLs on cocoa products do not change dramatically the overall exposure, because as we have noted in the assessment, and that was also consistent with what we have seen before in the previous assessment of CECFA, cocoa products are not the major contributing to the overall dietary exposure of cadmium. There are other commodities that contribute the most, and cereals, it's one group. So to do very effective interventions and you want to reduce dramatically, then there are some other groups that may need to. But of course, the fact that this is something that has to be balanced between public health protection and trade, it's, as we were saying, it's something for risk management to decide. We are just here to provide and give some numbers to help you with your deliberations. Now, with Christine, with your questions, and this is some of the details that will be in the monograph that hopefully we will be able to provide in a few months, but I'm afraid we'll not be able to provide in time for the meeting. These are also has to do with the way data are classified then in the various GEMS food cluster and the GEMS food database. So we have cereal groups that include, for example, grains, and then there is wheat, rice, and others. So, but some of these details would really be provided in the monograph. So what we wanted to give with this summary report is the gist of the discussion as refers to cocoa products, because it was really the topic on which there was some sort of discussion ongoing at the level of Codex. So that's was the spirit of trying to get as much as information in the summary report. But some of the overall details of the assessment, it will be provided in the monograph, updated monograph of the exposure assessment that we will be publishing in the coming months. Thanks.
Thank you very much indeed, Vittorio, for that. You can see on the screen that shortly I'll be asking you to go back to the Mentimeter for a couple of wrap-up questions. Before that, we will also hear from Sally again as chair of the committee, and perhaps also from Gracia if she has something to add in closing and about the way forward. Also pleased to see one of the Codex Observer organizations in the chat, always with the interesting questions. And again, Marcus, can I invite you or one of your colleagues to answer what about the exposure Marie says of infants with cocoa, as it is allowed in cereal-based food for infants from up to 6 months?
Sure, I can take a stab at that. Fundamentally, the same considerations apply. The exposure from products other than cocoa products will be higher than compared to cocoa products. And that's just based on the volume that is typically consumed by all humans, including infants. Very few people eat cocoa powder as the main ingredient. So it's a flavoring, it's an add-on, it's a minor ingredient in most foods. And with cereals and other major staple food groups being the main ingredient for every diet. So I honestly, there are two limitations to that question. Number one, we cannot discuss in detail what will be later in the monograph and a more detailed evaluation before it's published. And honestly, I would not be able to recall from memory all the nuances that that may go into that question in more discussion. But fundamentally, it's the same approach. The main groups or the main sources of dietary exposure are other food groups other than cocoa. For infants, mollusks and seafood may, of course, play a lower role. That only raises the importance of cereals as one of the main exposure sources. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Marcus, for answering that. To answer the point from Ecuador, I believe that the links to the reports that are currently available, Victoria, were linked in the program for this event. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you are absolutely correct, and we can...
can you drop them into the chat anyway?
Yes, I'm dropping into the chat anyway, and then, yes. And to respond to also, yes, following up what Marcus was saying to the question about infants, I think in the summary report, there is also a table that speaks to the contribution of infants, and it's minor, as you can see. I think it's table one. But anyway, I'll drop the link here in the summary, in the chat, so that everyone can actually see it.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Reminder to people, as I now go to Sally and to Gracie, that we have 10 minutes left, and I'm going to ask them for their thoughts, and then I'm going to ask you, the 150 plus people online, to give your feedback on also the way ahead. So where's my stringent steward? There she is. So Sally... Sorry, I just love that expression. Let me go back and ask you the question I did ask you at the start, and also to reflect on what you've heard today as you build up towards the contaminants meeting. I'll just open the floor to you. You know, your thoughts on what you've heard today. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And I would also like to express my gratitude to Kim, Victoria, and Marcus for such a excellent presentation. And also for giving somewhat more detailed information in their summary than they usually do. So helping us understand better what they did in this re-evaluation of exposure assessment. So that is very helpful for us. Again, in the beginning, I said already, hopefully this keeps us ahead of the questions, the electronic working group with Mr. Romal Benacour. Opa, thank you for seeing you for the first time now, for helping the results from that electronic working group to give comments in the online commenting system to get for the grasp of setting an ML and the way ahead of it. So this is for me an excellent opportunity for everybody to get all the details again present. Also looking back what we already have achieved and what we would like to achieve. So this is, for me, an excellent opportunity for everybody.
Thank you very much, Sally. Gracia, could I ask you to point the way ahead before I go to the final couple of questions to the participants here today? And thank you very much to Kim and Victoria for dropping into the chat the documents that they were referring to. Gracia.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, David. I don't really have anything more to add what Sally says. Just for information, again, all working documents relevant to cadmium and to the agenda for the Committee on Contaminants will be available on the CODES website between this week and next week. We are receiving documents for comments and also discussion papers. So we're going to make them available on the CODES website, and we really invite people to go to the website and to get familiar with these documents, especially for those having interest in cadmium. All the links and all the documents will be available for cadmium this week. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Gracia. So just to wrap things up for today, I would invite you now to go to the Mentimeter. Give us your thoughts. So the question here is, was the webinar inspiring? And Marcus, if we had gone on to Food and Love, perhaps we would have been more inspired. But to what extent?
Just wanted to say that's a high bar.
Indeed.
Inspiring.
to what extent it met your expectations. So we ask these questions because in planning these events, a lot of planning goes into them. And certainly from the Codex Secretariat point of view, we want to make sure that we are using this time and taking up your time in a valuable way, so that we do things that are relevant to you and interesting for you. So I hope that we managed to meet your expectations there. Was the information useful? It's very hard for me to not find the information when the JECFA team present useful, always fascinating to me. And so for those of you who deal with this on a regular basis, I'm sure you will have found it useful. And again, you can access the information through the Codex website. You can, the links are in the chat for the documents that were referred to. Okay, thank you very much for those answers. And so my final question as we move into the very closing today is, did we meet our objectives? So we'd like your view on the following, and I will read these for the benefit of the interpretation that we have. I am now clear on the rationale for the JECFA 91 re-evaluation. I understand the outputs of JECFA 91, the information that's been made available. And then that's the so what. Now the now what? What are you going to do about it? I intend to provide comments on MLs for cadmium in reply to the circular letter. So you're going to contribute now, which is why I know what the committee wants and what colleagues in the Secretariat have been urging you to do. And you will be taking part, or you intend to participate in the discussion on cadmium in the upcoming Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food, which will be, of course, virtual, which will create some challenges, but will also, as we have seen, provide some opportunities for people to take part who might otherwise not have been able to. Grassi, will you be taking part from Paraguay? Yeah, that's gonna. So you've got the challenge, I think, with the time zones and the technological possible impediments. So, okay, and thank you for your answers there. So all that remains for me to do then is, and this will be a first this week for me, is to actually wrap the meeting just a couple of minutes early. And this gives you all a chance. Thank you to the interpreters. Thank you for working so hard with us. We couldn't have these meetings without you. Thank you to FAO audiovisual team and all the people in the Codex Secretariat and elsewhere who have contributed. Thank you to all the people who helped prepare these events. And just a closing word from Gracia.
No, I don't know whether we mentioned this, but I think the recording of this webinar will be made available on the CODES website. And we really would like all the participants to spread the words that in commenting with the CL, it will be also useful for those who couldn't attend this webinar to take perhaps 20 minutes time to listen the JECFA presentation again, if that will help in making more informed comments in reply to the CL's circular letters we're planning to circulate. Thanks.
Okay, and of course, the webinar that we make available will be in the language of the floor, but I do believe that we'll also provide the audio recordings for the three languages. So you can watch the webinar in the language that was spoken by the people who contributed, but you will be able to listen to the recording of the interpretation of the three channels as well. So this is a chance for you all to turn on your cameras, open your microphones, and say goodbye. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Ciao.
Hasta luego.
Bye.
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 Bye.